his eye is on the sparrow. Isn't that a blessing? You know, I remember several sparrows back when I was a teenager that he watched me not be real kind to. And I do apologize for that, by the way. But praise the Lord, the whole idea there, of course, he watches over us. And he needs to. We need to be watched over. Amen. And here in our passage, 2 Corinthians 4, now some of you are wondering, wonder what he did to those sparrows. Well, anyway. Oh, I could tell some good stories. Too late. All right. Notice our text, verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. I want to talk to you about the God of this world. Father, I pray that you will bless the preaching today. I pray for your help and your guidance. Cause us to pay attention to the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, that you will, especially if there's someone here that is not saved, that they'll realize their need to be saved and they'll trust you today and be saved. And I pray for Christians that you'll help us as well. Lord, certainly we know of the battle, and we know that Satan is the god of this world. And so we pray for your help and your guidance as we fight this battle in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a battle going on in Ephesians 6. The Bible talks about us getting armor to fight this battle. It talks about the battle is an invisible battle. It is not something necessarily we see. We see the results, certainly, in our world today. And we see people's lives being messed up and destroyed and all of that. But we should not be surprised that this battle's going on, because Satan is the god of this world. He is the god of this earth. And I realize that our God is God. But he is the small g god of this world. When you hear of people worshiping other gods, well, there's really only one other small g god, and it boils down to Satan. Somebody, if they worship an idol, well, basically they're worshiping Satan. If they worship a rock, for example, as their idol, then in a sense they are actually worshiping the small g god of this world. You know, Satan's out to get people to worship anything other than God. He wants you to obey anything other than God in heaven. You know, any religion goes except for worshiping God. And we're seeing a lot of that today. We see it in our world, because again, there's really only two forces, and one is God, who is the God, and the other one, of course, is Satan, who is the small g god of this world. Let me just say this: the only way that he is God of this world is that God in heaven allows him to be. The only reason he has any power at all is because God in heaven allows him to have it. Every now and then I'll run into a Satan-worshipping kind of a person, and they'll talk about all of Satan's power, and I laugh, because he only has what God lets him have. He only can do what God allows him to do. Are you listening? You say, well, I worship the devil. Then you're on the losing side. I've read the whole book. I know what's going to happen, and the devil loses. He's cast into the lake of fire, and I'm going to give him a swift kick on the way in. Amen. I hope we can do that. And I'm just saying, it's a battle that is going on, but God calls him the God of this world. He has some control in this world. The Bible says that he is the prince of the power of the air. And we know that there is an invisible power that Satan has here in this world. Oh, it's not greater than God. It's not more powerful than God's power. But it is a power, and it is something that God allows him to have. He is the God of this world. And so I want to just talk about some things about the God of this world, and try to help you better understand a little bit about what we're dealing with. And certainly, as a Christian, many times it seems like we're kind of alone in this world. I mean, when we come to church, there's a lot of us. But you get out in the world, and it's like, boy, you know, nobody is interested in what we're interested in. Nobody is interested in the things of God. You talk about the Bible and people look at you strange. You talk about, well, praise the Lord, and people, you know, they kind of shy away from you. I notice when they interview some sports stars sometimes, a sports star might say, they'll say, well, what do you attribute your success? And the guy says, well, praise the Lord. And then they kind of turn away, you know, like, oh, I'm afraid what this guy's going to say. You know, just because he said, praise the Lord. You know, this guy might actually give glory to God. He might actually say, well, God gave me the ability, or God gave me the opportunity, or God. And the world just looks at that like, come on, be real. You know it was steroids. No. But the truth of the matter is, there is a battle. I mean, it's a real battle going on. And it's because there is another God. He's a small g God. He's the God of the world. Number one, we see his ability. His ability. He's not just a ghost. You know, the world would love us to think that he's just a ghost out there and he's floating around and he's not so harmful and he's not going to hurt anybody. The devil is not one to be laughed at. The only thing that I laugh at is the fact that he is defeated. And I know he's defeated. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I know that to be true. But the truth of the matter is, he has power. He is real and he is powerful. He is very, very powerful, and he is so powerful, he knows his power. He had the audacity to tempt Jesus in the wilderness. Oh, yeah. I mean, he actually had the audacity to come to the Son of God and to tempt him to sin. And by the way, had Jesus sinned, we would all be lost forever. But Jesus didn't sin. But the devil thought he could get him to. I mean, he's very powerful. He's very dangerous. The occult activities in our world today, it is unbelievable. It's amazing how the media just kind of plays all that down. When you hear of little animals being killed, you know, don't get this idea that there's just mean people out there that kill little animals. No, there are Satan-worshipping people out there that sacrifice little animals. And they will sacrifice little people when they get an opportunity to. And if they would not get caught, they'd be glad to sacrifice you. Oh, all of that is so true, and it is so real. And Satan is very, very dangerous. We see all kinds of things involving Satanism. Movies nowadays, you know, and they downplay the evil to try to make everything look good. Hey, listen, when the serpent came to Eve in the Garden of Eden and tempted her, he didn't look like a snake when he tempted her. He was a beautiful animal. The Bible says he was more subtle than any other animal, and Eve talked with that animal. The serpent, if it had been a snake, Eve would not have hung around to talk to it. Amen. I know my wife, she doesn't talk to snakes. No. We get away from them. And again, Satan, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but he's not gonna come as evil and nasty and fangs bared. He's gonna come and look real good to try to seduce us into believing what he has to say. The story is told of vampire bats in Brazil back in the 1950s, and literally they were killing all kinds of cattle and all kinds of animals, and they actually killed quite a few humans. What they would do is they would prey on those that were sleeping, and they would bite their victim and just maybe bite them at first and then retreat to see if they were awake. And if they just sort of woke up a little bit, they'd start to beat their wings and it would lull them into a deeper sleep, and then they would drink all of their blood, thus killing the victim. You know, the devil loves to try to lull us to sleep. He likes to bite us and then flap his wings to just kind of, okay, but it's okay. You know, I know what I did to you. I know that I hurt you. And I know that, but it's okay. It's okay. Just rest and go to sleep. You know, the Bible says in Luke 3:7, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Amen. And I'm telling you, what the world needs is the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what Christians need today is the light from the Word of God. And so that we can see what's going on, so that we're not asleep. I am so afraid that most people are asleep to what the devil's up to. They're asleep to the things of the devil. Jesus, when he was tempted, he said, get thee hence, Satan. Get out of here. You know, get lost, devil. Amen. Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. But you know what we do is, he stings us a little bit. And then we quietly fall asleep and let him destroy our lives. Why is it? I did this and I got in some trouble over this. I got in some trouble over that. And then we go back to it. You know why we go back to it? Because we're asleep. Because we don't see. We just don't get it. And the truth of the matter is, what we need to do is we need to say, hey, wait a minute, I got burnt with sin. I got hurt with sin. My life was damaged with sin. Why ruin my life? With sin. But the devil, he has some abilities. He has some abilities. He is not just a mere ghost. He is not to be laughed at. Number one, his ability. Number two is his authority. His authority. And again, only does he have it because God gives it to him. He is called here the God of this world. In Luke 22, verse 53, it's called, it's the hour and power of darkness. And as long as Satan is the God of the world, there will be darkness. There's going to be a lot of darkness. You know, all you had to do, and boy, some of you are not going to appreciate all this, but all you had to do, just walk around the fair for a little while and you saw a lot of darkness. I mean, there was a lot of darkness. I'm telling you. I remember when they had the Battle of the Bands here in town. And I don't know if they do that every year or not. There was one year, though, my wife and I decided to walk from one end of the town to the other. And we went through that. And I'm telling you, it was dark. Dark. You say, what do you mean by dark? First of all, everybody was wearing dark. Oh, Satan loves darkness. Second of all, the spirit was dark. It was cold. It was nasty. Now, I'll be honest with you. I have been around demonic influence. And I've told you about backmasking records and different things like that and being with folks who were demon-possessed and all of that. There's something about that. It's a darkness. You know, that darkness is because Satan is the God of this world. And there's going to be darkness. Now, praise God for light. Praise God for Berean Baptist Church. Praise God for other churches where the gospel is being preached and where the Bible is being taught and where people can see, because that's the light. Jesus is the light, and Christians are also the lights in the world. In Ephesians 2:2, he's called the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. Where there's disobedience going on, Satan's there. Oh, we have many of our people here preach in the prisons. Oh, there's a spirit of disobedience there. Yeah, now there's people that get saved in jail, people that get saved in prison. But I'm telling you, wherever there's that spirit of disobedience, that's the spirit of the God of this world. He's called the prince of the world. He's called the prince of the power of the air. He has some authority. He's allowed to do what he does. And it's a position of evil. By the way, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, where there's a disobeying teenager, he's there. Where there's a disobeying mom or dad, he's there. That's that spirit that worketh in children of disobedience. I know, we'd like to just say, oh, no, 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 no. We're not influenced by him. We just kind of do whatever we do. And people just do whatever. No, he is a very powerful influence. He has authority to influence that way. God's given him that authority. The spirit that worketh in children of disobedience. It's a position of evil. But you know what's interesting? Go look real quick at 2 Corinthians 11:14. And I mentioned this earlier, getting ahead of myself. 2 Corinthians 11:14. The Bible says this about him. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. By the way, he says that after he said, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Then he says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. One of the most dangerous things about the authority, the power, the influence that Satan has is that he transforms himself into an angel of light. He looks good usually. I mean, it looks good. It's stuff that we like. It's what appeals to our flesh. You know, most of the time, the world wants us to think of Satan as if there is a Satan, he's going to be ugly and nasty and all these different things. Or they'll go the other extreme and he'll be beautiful and nice and good. But they never want to show him how he really is. They never want to show him the way he really is. By the way, that's good advertising. You know, it's like if you're going to advertise cigarettes, you don't advertise a guy laying in a hospital bed trying to get a breath of air because his lungs are rotted from cigarette smoke. You know, who would buy it if they told the truth? You know, it's like their advertisement for liquor. You know, they're not gonna show a scene of a highway scene with a car crash and somebody's brain splattered all over the inside of the car because a drunk driver killed. They're not gonna no. They're not gonna tell you to drink. So they're not gonna show a woman all beat up because her husband came home drunk. Well, they're trying to sell the liquor. I'm gonna tell you something. Satan is a deceiver, and he is like an angel of light. And one of his greatest tools that he has is to transform himself to look like he's the good guy. And we have all kinds of that going on today. And it makes preachers like myself, why is he being so mean about those things? You know, what's wrong with Pastor Rogers? Why is he so mean about all these things? Why is he, I mean, he's talking about, you know, one of my favorite Hollywood people or one of my favorite singers or something. I mean, how could he do these people love me? No, this person loves you. These people love you. Those people, you better check out what they're trying to teach you. You better check out what they're trying to do to you. When I was a teenager, I liked the Beatles. Not a teenager, when I was younger than a teenager. I liked the Beatles. But it was interesting when I found out what all they were actually saying in their songs. They wanted me to be a drug user. They wanted me to worship Hare Krishna. Oh yeah, they sure did. My sweet Lord is not our Lord Jesus Christ, it's Hare Krishna. They say so in the song. Hello. They wanted me to contemplate suicide. I had no idea. Oh, preacher, that was all just to sell records. They remember records. That was just, they're just trying to sell their music. No big deal. Don't worry about it. No, listen to me. Satan may have used them for that. He always has an agenda. Do you know if anyone is trying to get you to use drugs, they don't love you. If anyone is trying to get you to be an alcoholic or use liquor, they don't love you either. If anyone is trying to get you to contemplate suicide or hurt yourself in any way, they don't love you either. That's true. See, Satan's position is this. The Bible says he's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But he can transform himself into a quiet little kitty to get you close. Amen. His ability, his authority. Number three is his actions. And here's what he does. And this is so important because it says in verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. It says in verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. But then it says, why? Why is it hidden? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them. Blinded their minds. Now, if somebody has blind eyes, what does that mean? It means they can't see. So if somebody has a blind mind, what does that mean? They can't think. You know, we're in a world where people just aren't thinking. Just not thinking. Now, a lot of the reason why we don't think is we've been kind of trained. The TV generation, you don't have to think to watch TV. You just watch. But there's more involved because Satan has a plan. Look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 7. Keep your place here, but go to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That describes 2009 to a T. Ever learning. Oh, people are learning all kinds of things. I mean, we have lots of people learning lots of things, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's people whose minds are blind. It's like not being able to see with my eyes. It's not being able to think with my mind. I have the mind. I'm learning. But I'm blinded. So many are blinded today. You know, good examples, and I just came up with some new things that are happening right now. But you have all these people that say, well, we need health care. And I'm going to throw a little politics in, if you don't mind. I just want to show you. And so we need health care. And everybody, okay, well, yeah, we need health care. Okay, great. By the way, I have health care. And many of you have health care, right? But we need health care. And somebody just asks the question. It's almost like they're a bad guy to ask the question. How are we going to pay for it? You say, well, preacher, now that you mention it, that seems like that'd be the first thing anybody... But it's not the first thing anybody asks. It's almost like if you ask that, you're a bad guy. Oh, so you want all these people to die. Is that it? No, I just ask, who's going to pay? No! You're prejudiced. No, I'm not. I'm really not. I'm just saying, how will you pay for it? Isn't that okay to ask that question? Nope. It's not okay to ask it. Do not ask that question. Well, it's kind of like, John, do you need a car? You need a car, right? Okay, he needs a car. What are you going to do about it? Well, preacher, who's going to pay for it? You despicable. Why would you ask that? I mean, it just seems like that would be the first thing we would ask is who's going to pay for it? How will it be paid for? But see, we become blind because we see a need. Are y'all listening? We see something that is, okay, well, yeah, right. Well, who's going to pay for it? You know, all these different stimuli out here. Okay, there's all kinds of stimuli. You know, and everybody's watching for a stimuli that they might be able to use for stimulation. I'm going to tell you, it's somewhere along the line, somebody needs to ask the question, who's going to pay for it? Right. Is it going to be all those little babies in the nursery? When they get old enough to work? Hello? But see, nobody wants... You say, oh, people are asking the question. Yeah, but be honest, really. Most people are blind. I mean, how many people voted for those kinds of things and never even read what it was about? What is that? It's just, it's blind is what it is. I'm not saying any of it's bad. I'm just saying somewhere along the line, we better figure out who's going to pay for it. You know, blind. Evolution is blind, okay? School's about ready to start. All you kids in the public school, let me tell you something. There is no such thing as evolution. Tell Professor Peabody, Pastor Rogers said, there is no, it is absolutely ridiculous. It'd be just like this, okay? It'd be like me taking some tires, a carburetor, some plugs, some wires, some seats, some shocks, some struts, and throwing them all together and mixing them up, and poof, out comes a car. Of course, every time I think about doing that, I think, but where'd the carburetor come from? Where'd the tire come from? Somebody had to make that. It'd be like taking electronics, and I don't know enough anymore. Transistors, capacitors, I don't even know if they use those anymore. Resistors, do they use those anymore? Integrated circuits, do they use those? I don't even know. I hear of motherboards, and all I think of is mom when she didn't have anything to do. But it'd be like taking all these electronics, putting them in a bag, shaking them all up, and voila! Computer. Oh, no, no, you say, no, preacher. But again, my question has to be, okay, where did each component come from? Hello? All I know is Tim, you go into Tim's office, and it is a virtual junkyard of computer parts. And I'll see one of these little board things, which I don't think is a motherboard. It's probably more like a sibling board. And I'll look at that thing, and it's got all these little silver things on it, which I think represent what we used to call wires. And they connect all these little doohickeys things, and they're little dots now, which my eyes barely can see them. If they were this big, I'd struggle. But I need a super giant print motherboard. But anyway, all on that little board is a mega who knows whatever it is, and it could control all kinds of things. And I think, okay, somebody had to put all that together to make that little board. Now they've got those little boards that are about that big. And I don't even, my mind can't fathom any of that kind of stuff. But again, you throw all that together and poof, out comes a computer. Do you understand our bodies are greater than any computer? And it is totally ridiculous to think that it just all flew together and poof, out came a human. Oh, you say, preacher, I can explain that. And Professor Peabody will try. Billions and billions of years. So I thought about billions and billions of years, okay? And I really tried hard to try to figure out, okay, if it's billions and billions of years that is the solution. So I put my tires and my steering wheel and my seats and my chassis and my shocks and my carburetor and my pistons and my rings and my seals, and I put all of those in a spot. Not even far apart. I put them in a spot, and I watch them and wait for billions and billions and billions, and let's even throw in a trillion in there. First of all, they're going to rust. Second of all, they're not going to jump up and become. Oh, no, you say, no, we've got the answer to that. Amoeba. But have you ever thought about an amoeba? They have all kinds of activity going on inside an amoeba. I don't know all the technical things, and I'm sure science people could tell you, but they're doing things. How did they start doing things? How did the protoplasm proto so that it could then plasm? I'm telling you, folks, it's a blind mind that accepts all that stuff. It's a blind mind. I mean, my wife loves going to the zoo, and sometimes we'll watch monkeys. She likes to watch monkeys. Sometimes they're boring. They do nothing. Sometimes they're embarrassing. But every time I look at a monkey, I think, they're so not human. Now, I'll have to admit, they do resemble some folks I've known. But I'm just saying, it is so ridiculous. And yet, the upper echelon of education looks at us like we're nuts. They look at us like we don't know what we're talking about. Oh, yeah, you people that believe in creation. You believe God just created everything. And they cannot explain the simple things I just told you. Your brain, there is not a computer anywhere near your brain. And they're saying it just happened? There isn't too much that we could rival that would even reach the ability of a cat's brain. And that's an animal. I know, yours is human, I understand. But I'm just saying, come on. Minds are blinded. You know, so it only makes sense if we can't accept that there's a creator. It only makes sense we would be blind to the truths of the Scripture. And it only makes sense we would be blind. You know, it's a blind person who would think that there would not be a law. In other words, we're just all supposed to do whatever we want to do. Everything goes. They did that which was right in their own eyes. The Bible says man has always been like that. It is a blind man that thinks that's all right. It is a blind human being who thinks you can just do whatever you want to do. And there's no law. That's blind. It's ridiculous. I could wipe that out easily if you and I decided, I mean, if I believe this way, which I don't, but if we, John and I decide there's no law. And so I say, John, I don't like you. Boom. That was easy. Well, preach, you just can't go around killing people. They're aborting babies. See where it leads? That's where it leads. And I got news for you. It is leading there, and I'm getting way out of proportion. I'm just about done, believe it or not, if you look intelligent. Several, we have teenagers up here, so we're in trouble. I'm just saying, hey, listen to me. You know, if we can kill little babies, then it won't be long we're going to be killing off older people. Yeah, that is exactly right. And, you know, well, somebody said this. They said, well, yeah, but the legislators, they will get old someday. Well, they'll be like every other law. They'll be excluded. I'm always amazed at things that are for everybody else but aren't good enough for them. Number three is his actions. That's what I'm on right now. He blinds minds. Actions. Boy, and he's doing it too. And he also blinds the minds of people when it comes to religion. They think there's no law. They think there's no word of God. No penalty. They think they can work their way to heaven. Yeah, but who says what work will get you to heaven? Who says what work will not? Blind minds. I'm telling you, Satan is afraid, and that's why he blinds minds. Because his end is sealed. But he keeps fighting. He keeps trying to blind more and more people. He wants to take as many with him as he can. God is not willing that any should perish. Satan hates all of mankind because God loves all of mankind. He is afraid of truth. And the only way that we can thwart his purpose, and I'll get to this in a minute, and that's to give out the truth so that the blind can see. Satan fears a soul-winning church, so he attacks it. He fears a praying family, so he attacks it. He fears an altar call, so he attacks it. He fears soul-winning, so he attacks it. Bus ministry, so he attacks it. Why? Because he can't continue blinding. Let me ask you a question. Does he fear you? Liberal preacher one time said, well, I'm not afraid of the devil. The Christian said, doesn't matter. Is he afraid of you? Truth of the matter is, if you're not telling the truth, if you're not pointing people to Christ, Satan's not, he's not even threatened by you. How does he blind our minds? He blinds our mind through humanistic teaching, years and years and years of it. You hear all this stuff and pretty soon you say it. You know, we hear it over and over and over and over and over again, and it's not long and we just accept things. Well, we just want to set up a little counseling with elderly people about death. People who have no hope aren't going to talk to me about death. We just want to, and you hear all these different, well, but this is a good thing and it'll help. How does it help to question somebody's quality of life? has a right to determine who has a quality of life? Well, Pastor, you're bald. Bald people are miserable. You need to die. Bald people are happy. Bald is beautiful. Amen. I'm just saying, we're blind in so many areas. Humanistic teaching, worldliness, because our lust of our flesh, our lust of our eyes, and our pride of life, we're blinded because, hey, I can get money out of this, so that makes it okay. I can get pleasure out of this, that makes it okay. Oh, I can get power out of this, that makes it okay. None of those things are okay. Amen. Those things, it's not okay just because you can get something out of it. Worldly, we accept things because we like things. And we're blind. We're blind to the truth. That's why many Christians are blind, because we're so worldly. Amen. Religion can blind, and Satan uses it all the time. A religion that says all roads lead to heaven, that's a lie. A religion that says all you have to do is think positive, that's a lie. A religion that says, no, there are no absolutes, that's a lie. Religion that says, oh, there's no such thing as hell, that's a lie. Well, there are different interpretations, that's a lie. There's just one, that's the Word of God. It's not Baptist, it's the Word of God, the Bible. Hypocrites, blind people. It's no excuse, but it is a hindrance. Worldly Christians, blind people, because people see that there's no difference, and they think, why would I get saved if these people act the same way I do? Only God can open blind eyes. His actions. Number four is His allies. Verse 4, it says that in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Them which believe not. According to verse 3, it says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Oh, His allies. Those that are lost. We shouldn't be surprised that people get mad when you go soul winning. We shouldn't be surprised. Had a guy that I mean, it isn't going to be long, and he's going to be in eternity somewhere. And literally, when I talk about the love of God, he rolled his eyes. Now, you know, but you got to understand, we shouldn't be surprised about that. Because the God of this world has controlled the mind of people. I'm just telling you this. If you're here today and you're not saved, you are His. You belong to Satan. You say, well, I'm not demon-possessed. I'm not. You are going to go to hell, just like the Bible says. And for you to deny it, for you to say, I don't believe it, it isn't going to change it. You're blind. And you need to be saved. You need to be saved. You know, what a difference it is between His allies and the last thing, number five, His adversary. His adversary. In verse 5 it says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. I mean, in direct opposition to Satan is Christ Jesus the Lord. I mean, He's in complete opposition. When the Bible talks about the end times and there being an antichrist, He is anti-Christ. He is the opposite of Christ. Where Christ is light, He is dark. Where Christ caused sight, He causes blindness. And Jesus Christ is the adversary for the God of this world. By being saved, I'm on His side. That makes me the adversary of the God of this world. It says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Don't be shocked when lost people don't understand what you're talking about. Don't be shocked when an unsaved person, they get upset when you talk about heaven and hell because they don't have a clue. But we do. Oh, by the way, it's not because you're smart. It's not because you're just so intelligent. It's because God shined a light in your darkness so you could see. Now we see. Now we see. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I'm saved because God showed me the truth and I could see it. And you know, you can be saved if you're not saved today. You say, but I don't agree with all this stuff. But you got to admit, you see it. I didn't agree either when I was a teenager. I didn't like the idea of somebody telling me I was a sinner and that I was going to hell. I rolled my eyes a few times. But deep down, that light starts to shine. And all of a sudden, you know, I know I'm a sinner. Come on, you know, it's amazing when you talk to someone and you try to get them saved and you say the first point, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Had somebody the other day say, I've never sinned. And I just looked at them, you know, it's kind of like they think that'll make me go away. Really? You're perfect? Yeah, you know, I've never murdered anyone. Oh, I see, murder. Yeah, I never committed adultery. Oh, adultery. You ever told a lie? Yeah, I guess I've done that. Oh, okay. God says that's a sin. Yeah. But that light starts to shine, and you see it. Boy, what a blessing that is. Satan's adversary is God Almighty. And you know, we also are his adversary. Chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. And it is quite the battle that we have. It really is. This thank God this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Amen. I mean, praise God. I love my life, and I love this world. I love to live, and I love the sunshine, and I love what God gives and everything about it. But thank God, when we get to heaven, there won't be any sin, and there won't be darkness, and there won't be blindness, and we'll know Him, and we'll see Him as He is, and we'll be like Him because we see Him as He is, and we won't sin, and we won't want to sin, and we won't be tempted to sin. Hallelujah! What a blessing that'll be. But He says here, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, the manifestation of the truth, we have the truth. And the Bible says the truth shall set you free. How can I see the truth? That's how. That's why Satan has all these things, evolution, abortion, all this garbage out there, and liberal thinking and all these kind of things to just keep us blind. Thank God we have the truth. And thank God the truth will set you free. You sit here today lost and on your way to hell, and you don't get it. You just don't see it. You know, I'm praying that God will show it to you. And you can be tough. And I was one of those guys as a teenager. Well, you know, you're not going to tell me anything. But deep down, I knew. I knew that I was lost and on my way to hell. And maybe that's you here today. I beg you to get saved. I beg you to get saved. Maybe you're a Christian today and you've been blinded by sin. You've been blinded by some of these things. You've been blinded by consistent Christians and hypocrisy. And maybe it's kept you from doing something. Listen, the blinding is of Satan. The truth is of God. Now walk in that truth. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. No one's looking around, no one's talking. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, preacher, I am not saved. I do not know if I'm going to heaven. Please pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Raise your hand if that's you. Pray for me. Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. How many would say, I'm a Christian? I'm already saved, and I know that. God has spoken to my heart about something in my life. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand all over. Slip it up. God bless you. Thank you. In a moment, we'll give an invitation. You'll have an opportunity to come and make the decision God's laid on your heart. Father, bless the invitation. Have your will in our lives, I pray. And if there's anyone here not saved, please save them today. Help them to see God, the truth of the Word of God. And bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. 312. 312, open my eyes that I may see. If God's speaking to your heart today, do not follow the deception of Satan. If you need to make a decision, you come. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If any others need to come, join these. God speak in your heart, a decision you need to make. Still time. If you need to come, if you're not sure you're saved, someone will take a Bible. They'll show you how to be saved today. If you're already saved, but God's speaking to your heart about something. Well, I understand the God of this world, there's a battle going on. We win. We are more than conquerors. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Something you need to pray about, you can come. Folks are still praying. If you need to make a decision, still time. Amen. All right. You know, I left out so many things. But somebody told me the other day, they said, you know, homosexuals there's a gene in them that makes them that way. And I said, and there are folks that actually have a gene in them that causes them to murder. Did you know that? Yeah. It's called flesh. It's called our old nature. It's called, I'm prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. It's called, I choose. That's the gene. And sometimes we choose wrong. Do you think murderers ought to get the same right? Anyway, all right. I got to get off of this stuff. Brother Harnden, I'm going to have to quit reading your stuff, I'm afraid. No, I'm just kidding. All right, 4:30. What happened? Did he trust Christ? Amen. Praise the Lord. What's his name? Joe Taylor got saved. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. 4:30, ensemble. 5 o'clock, all the choirs will practice. Men's prayer, ladies' prayer time. Teens will meet all at 5, 6 o'clock, the evening service. After the evening service, of course, you can gain pounds with the floats. Tomorrow you can lose them all. And then I do need to meet with all the mission groups right after the service tonight. So don't forget that. Brother Pick and Paul, would you close in prayer?
Father, we do thank you that you have given us truth. And Lord, that we can open our eyes and read it. And receive the power of the Holy Spirit to show the truth in our hearts and our lives. Father, as we go into this world of darkness, may we shed abroad the light of the gospel of Christ. Guide us and direct us. Go with us. Open our eyes to the lies that are ever around us. May we see thy truth and, Lord, thy love for us. Bless us again. Gather us again at the next appointed hour. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.